broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Christmas in December, well, well, well.
If, in fact, a bill is repealed.
Well, we took a look at what was on the DVD, and we're pretty surprised.
You can easily become overwhelmed. You think about a goal that sounds good to you.
This is unbelievable.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast in 2011 as it was in 2010. World famous Phil Hendry Show, where truth is our bitch. The only news talk and information show and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. A place where other talk shows cannot go. That is the place that we hold, not only in your hearts and in your minds, but in this rapidly confused industry that we're in. Anyway, welcome to our program tonight. It's maybe confusing for some guys, but we got it all figured out. You stick around with us. It's going to be fine. Tonight we have Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley, and I don't know how much of Mr. Dooley we'll be hearing from. They're with the Western Estates Homeowners Association, and they're going to be talking about Christmas lights and the standard Homeowners Association rules as they apply. It might be interesting to know how long it is expected for some, especially people who have to adhere to those kinds of rules, for some people to keep, is it allowed for them to keep their Christmas lights up? And then in our next hour, Brass Villanueva is going to be joining us, right, bud? So he is here from Los Malos to talk about New Year's resolutions and the mass media's pushing of New Year's resolutions and how they are, in fact, racist when it comes to groups of people in this country that can't afford certain New Year's resolutions. Wait till you hear that one coming up in our next hour here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL is our number. And our affiliate spotlight tonight on Denver, KRCN 1060 AM. And we got some new affiliates going to roll out here for you. In Riverside, California, KMET 1490 AM. Fargo, North Dakota, WZFG 1110 AM. Right, Jace? In Duluth, Minnesota, 1110, in Fargo. In Duluth, Minnesota, WDSN, 710 AM. And in Saldanha, Alaska, KSRM, 920 AM. And also Bakersfield, California, 1180 AM on your dial. Out of sight. So that's a great, great list of some new affiliates. A bunch of them here in California, a brand new one there in Alaska. So we're all over the place. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Bringing on the line here, Bobby and, as I mentioned, Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. Ms. Dooley, thank you for joining us. Is your husband with us tonight?
You know something, Phil? Steve is driving the car right now, so I think it's mostly...
All right, that's safe.
Yeah, and we are going through the Cajon Pass, and there is snow. I thought I'd let you know.
It's snowing out in the Cajon Pass tonight, huh?
It is, and it's nice. I hope people drive carefully.
Well, it's not a common thing to see snow in Southern California, is it?
No, it is not. But it's a very pleasant change of pace for us, and we're very, very grateful. And we're certainly grateful for the time that you're taking tonight to let everyone know about these homeowners association rules that are so very important and vital to all of our communities.
Well, the Homeowners Association, the Western Estates Homeowners Association, says that you must have your Christmas lights off by the end of the New Year's weekend. Do I have that right?
That's true, Phil. We are in the process of having that redrawn. But technically, and we've had some people take advantage a little bit of the technical language there, technically, you are to have your Christmas lights off. That is correct, so that there's no illumination of the lights
by the end of the New Year's weekend.
Yeah, that is correct, and that includes as well the blue and white lights that are generally used by Jewish people for Hanukkah. We did have some families that put up blue and white Hanukkah lights, and they were Christian families. They had a Christmas tree in the window, and we did inform them that they had 48 hours to have those lights changed, and they did comply. So, for the most part, still...
Now, you're telling me that people who have a Christmas tree must have Christmas lights.
That is correct, yes, because we don't... generally, we do have an awful lot of people involved in the media who come through and take photographs. We're very, very fortunate. We have gorgeous homes here that do appear in a lot of print ads and magazines, and we tell our homeowners to put their best foot forward when we are in the spotlight like that, and to put up Hanukkah lights because you feel you're going to get a few extra days of you know, having your lights on, I think is dishonest. And we told them that we knew that they weren't Jews, and to put up the Christmas lights, and they did comply. The problem that we're having, Phil, is that people are turning their lights off, but they're not taking them down. And that's a problem. That is not covered in our Homeowners Association manual.
Tell me about that.
Well, what people are doing now is that they are turning their lights on and then turning them off when they're supposed to at the end of the New Year's weekend, but they're not taking them down. More and more people are keeping the lights affixed to the house. And I know Steve, my husband's right.
Yeah, but they didn't have up.
So they're keeping the lights, sir, they're keeping the lights on the house, like on hooks?
Or they'll have them nailed up in some fashion so that they don't have to take the lights down. That violates what we think is the spirit, not necessarily the rule, but the spirit of our Homeowners Association rules. We told people we wanted the lights turned off, and what we meant was we want them off the house. I take it as a little bit of taunting, you know.
All right, well, okay, but the people have turned the lights off, so the lights, their Christmas lights are no longer on, but they have them affixed to the house, and I understand people do that because it's more convenient, isn't it?
Well, I don't know if it's more convenient or not, but it violates the spirit. I want the lights off of the house. This is why I mandated this. I think it's a little like they're taunting my authority. It's a bit disrespectful, I think.
I think it's disrespectful, Mr. Henry, my wife.
It's a little disrespectful to me as the Homeowners Association president to say, well, we turned our lights off, but we have them up on the house. Ha, ha, ha. So we find that to be, it bothers me. It really does.
Well, is this a personal thing?
No, in no way is it personal, but I am the Homeowners Association president. I mandated that lights get turned off, that is, Christmas lights and the Jewish lights get turned off at the end of the New Year's weekend, that those lights are still affixed to the house, is them saying to me, we don't really respect you, so we'll turn our lights off, but we're not taking them off the house. So we've had to do some creative things with our play dates. We've done some creative things with our pet sitting.
We're talking to Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Western States Homeowners Association. Ms. Dooley, hold on. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. So what you guys are talking about, Christmas lights, Hanukkah lights must be turned off at the end of the New Year's weekend. But the lights are not coming off the houses, and you wanted to see that too.
Yes, we did.
But you didn't have that written into your Homeowners Association rules.
I don't know whether we do or not, but I don't think it should have been. I think it should have been understood that I want the lights not only turned off, but I want all evidence of the lights off the houses. And they are not. And
now, you mentioned something about getting creative. Are you going to force people to take the lights off the houses?
We're going to have to, Phil, because it's, as I said, it's a little shocking to be taunted this way or to be disrespected this way as a Homeowners Association president.
You understand, Mr. Chairman, my wife.
No, I understand she's the Homeowners Association president, and you feel they're taunting you, or are they just keeping the lights up so they can have them for next year?
I don't know. That's something we've got to get to the bottom of. But we do know that they've kept the lights affixed to the houses, and so our play dates, unfortunately, are extending. Our pet sitting is extending, and our door maintenance is now going to have to extend.
And what is that?
Well, these are a couple of ways that we can deal with the lights being on the houses. I don't want to do it. I really don't want it to escalate. I am simply saying to the homeowners, you know full well that that is an affront to me. I told you I wanted the lights off of the house.
Was this a law that you passed, or was it...
It's done, Phil, in agreement with the Homeowners Association, but I told them this is the rule, and I wanted it passed, and...
Well, do they rubber stamp this stuff, or...
I don't know if you'd call it rubber stamped. I think when something is of grave concern to me, I think they see that, and I think they get it passed. But we're going to have to do some extended play dates.
All right, now, 877-876-PHIL, what is an extended play date? And this is...
This is a way to deal with the lights still up in the houses, yeah.
What is that?
The extended play date is when we invite, if there is a person who's kept their lights up, we invite one of their children over to have a play date with one of our sons, one of our three sons, and we give them dinner, and they have the video games, and they can watch a lot of the television that they want to watch. And we tell the homeowner that we are going to keep an eye on their child, whether it's a boy or girl, while they get those lights down. So
what are you doing? Are you holding the kid hostage?
No, we're not holding. No, we're simply saying that the play date will extend while they get the lights down.
What is the pet sitting?
Well, the same thing goes with the pets. If they don't have their lights down, we will ask them for their dog or their cat, whatever the case may be, and that animal will remain with us. If they're elderly and they cannot get the lights down quick enough, we do maintenance on their doors and on their back doors so they can't leave the house. Phil, believe me when I tell you, we don't want to do any of this.
No, we don't want to, Mr. Henry, but I do respect and everything.
But as the Homeowners Association president, I asked them to get the lights off their houses.
Ms. Dooley, you didn't say that the lights had to be down. You just wanted them off.
Well, the understanding is Christmas lights and the Jewish lights come down.
I understand that. But if they don't come down, they are simply turned off. And you're holding their kids for play dates. You're holding their pets. Can people not say that you're kidnapping or you're otherwise, or you're keeping the elderly people in their houses?
No, that is...
Don't be dramatic, Mr. Kevin.
That's very dramatic. That has nothing to do with it. We're simply saying to them, if your children are a reason why you are not getting those lights taken down, if your dog or your cat, well, here, we'll take them. If you're so old that you can't get out of the house to get the lights down, then why don't we do some maintenance on your doors, on your windows, and let's just see how quickly you can get outside when you're not sure if those doors are going to be open or not. So I know it's very, very challenging.
Well, it sounds threatening.
No, not at all.
Not at all, Mr. Henry.
It sounds threatening to me that you're holding onto a kid or you're holding onto pets or you're not letting an elderly person out of their house to get the lights down.
We're saying, get the lights down. That's all we're asking. And the extended play dates, well, I don't think you understand.
Yeah.
I think I do understand. We're going to take a break. I think I do understand, Ms. Dooley. You're holding on to the children and the pets, and you're keeping the elderly in the home until their lights come down.
Yes, but that is not kidnapping. That is not kidnapping.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Bobby and Steve Dooley with us. It is the end of the Christmas season 2010, and the Christmas lights at Western Estates have to be turned off. But they also need to come off of the houses, and that hasn't happened. And Ms. Dooley says that as the Homeowners Association president, it is a challenge to her authority. They're doing extended play dates. They're doing extended pet sitting. They're keeping the elderly in their homes until these lights come down. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Go left here. I want tampons.
Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. And with me is Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Western States Homeowners Association as we talk about Christmas lights. Ms. Dooley, your Homeowners Association, CCNR, says that Christmas lights have to be turned off by the end of the first, by the end of the New Year's weekend.
So we're looking it over, and we think it's very ambiguous. We think that, yes, they have to be turned off.
But we also, you want them off the houses, and they're not off the houses. That's not necessarily spelled out. But you are doing something with these extended play dates that sounds like a little bit of kidnapping. That was the only reason why I mentioned that.
I wish you wouldn't use that word, Phil.
Wait a minute, don't kid. We got a little boy over there now.
We have Christopher Blue with us. We know the family. Chris is with us. He's doing a sleepover tonight with Seth. He's 11 years old, about the same age as Seth. Chris is enjoying himself. He's watching. We let the kids watch this ridiculous show on HBO called Hung. We let them, have the Eskimo pies and so forth. The kids are having a ball, Phil. And
Hung, the show on HBO? That's a very adult show.
It's very silly.
It's not a male prostitute. It's really...
It's a very silly program. There's no nudity. The point that I'm making is that the children are enjoying themselves. I would like you to ask young Chris if he feels he's been kidnapped. Now, we have asked his grandmother to get the lights off of her house. She has claimed that she is disabled, and yet she has a boyfriend that looks to be about 30 years younger than her. It's none of my business, but I think it's a reasonable thing to assume that a woman with a boyfriend 30 years younger does not have problems moving herself.
Yes, sir.
And I don't want to be crude.
No, not at all. But this is an elderly woman that can't get the lights off of her house, and you need to have the lights off of the house to the point where you're going to you say it's not kidnapping, but you're holding a dog, you're holding a cat, you're holding a child.
We are not. I told you, the boy is here.
Yeah, the boy is watching Hung.
They're watching this silly show called Hung.
Well, I don't want to comment on that, but I'm simply saying that this is all because of these Christmas lights not being pulled off the house. And you said, Ms. Dooley, because you feel your authority is being challenged. 877-876-PHIL. Andrea in Maui, Hawaii. Andrea, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Yes, one more comment. This lady's got way too much time on her hands. She's not just doing things legally and documenting everything for her association to be legal and binding. But she's now saying that they're like basically turning on her, and that's why they're leaving the lights up. Sometimes someone's ill and can't get them down, I have one thing to say, and I'm not prejudiced. She's Jewish. No one's telling her to run her Jewish holiday. I'm not Jewish. I would see my Christmas lights up a week after Christmas.
I am not Jewish.
I have a friend right now that her son's moving back from the mainland. She's keeping her lights and Christmas going probably for a month.
But this woman,
she's celebrating
I'm not a Jew.
Her son that she hasn't seen for years.
I am not a Jew. Did you hear me?
Is the lady there, Andrea?
You have a right to.
Can this caller hear us? First of all, I want to ask I got to ask the call screener and everybody back in Medford. Are these callers hearing us? Because this woman can't hear us. Okay, Andrea, you there?
Yes.
Okay, you didn't hear Bobby. What was your?
Well, first of all, I'm not Jewish, so I don't know what she's talking about there. Secondly, I am the Homeowners Association president. I made a ruling, and now they've decided they want to keep their lights up regardless. Wouldn't you take that as an affront to your authority?
Okay,
obviously,
if you're the president and there's an association,
are you smoking?
The association takes a vote on everything.
Mm-hmm. No, yes, they did. And they said that the lights need to come down. Now, if you are Jewish and you have blue and white lights, that's fine. If you're Christian and you have blue and white lights and you're trying to squeeze a few more days out of me, ain't going to happen.
Yeah, ain't going to happen.
Ain't going to happen.
Did you send out a memo saying what date you wanted the lights off by?
Yes, we did. We said we wanted them turned off.
But they're still affixed to the house.
Yeah.
You said
and
turned off. You didn't say taken down.
But that's what I meant. That's what I meant, okay?
Then you need to do another memo.
No. what we have done is instead an extended play date, whereby the boy stays here. See what I'm saying? See, I think you kind of came late to this, didn't you? You don't really know what's going on. The boy stays here with me, and only then will the message be served that the lights must come down. You understand? I think she came late to the game. I'm Bobby Dooley.
877-877-876-PHIL. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
Phil Hendry. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL and Bobby and Steve Dooley joining us. The Western Estates Homeowners Association mandates that the lights be turned off, Christmas lights be turned off by the end of the New Year's weekend.
Well, you know, you're making a very big issue out of that, Phil.
But you didn't say take the lights down.
I didn't say take the lights down. When I mandated this, and again, the young lady that called said that the Homeowners Association has to vote on it. Yes, they do. Technically, they do. But when I mandate something that is important to me, because I don't want it seen, Phil, that we are favoring Christians over Jews or Jews over Christians. The Jews kept their blue and white lights up. That was a problem. So I said, and a lot of Christians were going with the blue and the white to fool me into thinking they were Jews, but then I saw the Christmas tree.
Yeah, that's what they were doing.
All right, so what has this got to do with what? This has to do with people keeping their lights up too long.
Yes, it has to do with them keeping their lights up too long. So,
but I mean, initially this had to do with Jewish people's blue and white lights?
It had to do with the fact that we allowed the Jewish people the blue and white lights. We allowed those lights to stay up longer because we felt, in light of the Holocaust, that there was something, some reparation, that Christians were due Jews. So we allowed them...
The Holocaust, okay.
Henry, this is very important.
Please don't make light of this, Mr.
I'm not making light of this. I didn't know that the Holocaust came into this. So as a way of reparation, you let the Jewish people keep the blue and white lights.
Yeah, and there were some Christians that were abusing that by putting those lights up themselves. We found out they were Christians. We had to enter the home and look at the tree, and it was a Christian tree. What we're saying now is, yes, we want the lights turned off. You know good and well we meant we want them off of the house. Now, Terry Ballew, whose young son is at our house tonight, says she's disabled. Really? Well, her boyfriend is 32 years old.
Okay.
I really don't want to get into it.
Yeah, I don't want to get any further than that.
She's got a 32-year-old boyfriend.
She's got a 32-year-old boyfriend, which means she's not disabled.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think you get it moving that way.
So we asked her, do you want to have us work on the front door and the back door? And she knows what that means. She knows it means she will not be able to get out of that house. And we don't want to do that.
All right, so you have her grandson, she's not going to be able to get out of the house, and you think she's lying about being disabled because she's got a 32-year-old boyfriend.
We know it. Phil, there are some things that a woman knows. I know there are women listening right now. They know what I'm talking about. But the bigger problem, Phil, is my authority as a homeowner association president has been seriously compromised. We've done everything in our power to let people know that I am the president of the Homeowners Association. What do they think they're doing? I don't know. Are they aware of what it is they're doing? I don't know.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, here on the Phil Hendry Show.
We're very concerned.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. We have Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Western States Homeowners Association. Rodney in San Antonio. Go ahead, sir. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
All righty. I think that this has gone on long enough with this person being president. is a little nosy, if you ask me. I mean, one, she doesn't pay their bills. You don't pay their mortgages. And
well, they are members of our homeowners association, so that's really neither here nor there.
Your homeowners association is theirs, because it sounds like you have to do what you say or hit the highway. I mean, whose house is really?
How else do you run an organization? How else do you run an organization? Someone has to have the, the final say.
Yeah, but do you run it like you're... You said that you rubber stamp it?
I never said rubber stamp.
Well, but did you say that the homeowners vote on this stuff?
Yes, they do.
Then if they vote on it...
What do you mean that you're kidding me? What does that mean? Of course they do.
Well, then if they vote on it, Bobby, then what do you mean you kept on saying it's what you want.
It was something that I wanted, and I told them that I want this. I didn't use the word rubber stamp. I said as a courtesy protocol, let's get this into the language, because there's a woman who claims to be disabled. Excuse me?
That sounds very personal. I mean, it sounds like...
I don't... I've listened to you. I've listened to you. I really don't...
Who does it? How they should run their house?
She's got a 32-year-old boyfriend. Hello?
No, that's none of
your
business.
That's none of your business. Yeah. You're saying that means she's not disabled?
How do you get a 32-year-old boyfriend?
I can't hear what your husband's saying.
How is it you can have a 32-year-old boyfriend and claim you can't move from the waist down? Give me a break.
Well, again, it's very personal. Now, as far as the home goes, are her lights up?
Yes, they're up, and we have her grandson with us. Now, the lights need to come down.
She's disabled. Have you asked your husband or your sons to go over and take those lights down or do her the the courtesy of helping her take them down?
I would be very happy to do that, Phil. Were she really disabled? But as long as I keep seeing that kid, his name's Pete, and he drives a pickup truck. I see that pickup pull up every night at 11 o'clock. No one's going to offer to help her take the lights down.
This sounds so impersonal.
She can get Pete.
Whatever happened to being good neighbors?
Who is this man? Excuse me, sir, but these are multi-million-dollar homes.
All right, anyway, Rodney, thank you very much. I thought Rodney's questions were very good. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Garrett in Chico, California. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Garrett, go ahead, please. I don't understand what's impersonal about it. Or...
No.
I'm just trying to figure out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to figure out where in the Homeowners Association you voted to where it was legal to take somebody's kid hostage.
No, we have not.
That's exactly what I'm wondering.
No. We have not taken anyone's child hostage. He is having an extended play date.
I mean, it doesn't matter what you call it. If you're holding somebody against their will or the will of their guardian, you are, in fact, kidnapping.
Well, he is not being held. If you talk to him right now, the kids are having a ball.
That's great. I mean, I could go and rip somebody off and bring them to the movies and stuff, but it's still kidnapping.
The children love being with us. How's that kidnapping?
You voted on turning off the light, and the lady won't turn off the light, so is there no other action within your organization to take care of the problem?
Well, she turned them off, but she still has them up. In other words, there's still a fix to the house.
Well, that's the whole problem here. You want the lights turned off, but there's nothing in your code that says...
Mr. Henry, we've been around and around with this. It is my wish that the lights come off the house. Is it in the language? No. Is it my desire? Yes. Are they...
Well, then you need to take it back to a vote. And change the language.
I don't understand. Why does it have to go back to a vote?
Well, the language says that the lights have to be turned off, and they turn them off, then they are following your rules. If you want the rule to read, take it down from the house, then you need to change the rule to take it down from the house.
No, you don't. I have made my decision. I've made my decision. There's no need for a vote. I've made my decision.
What do you mean?
Mm-hmm.
I made the decision.
Association is, Sorry, go ahead.
My wife's already made the decision. All I do is you change it.
We couldn't hear Mr. Dooley.
I've made my decision. What I'm saying to the gentleman, his name is his name Garrett? Is that correct? Garrett?
That's correct.
Is that
yes.
your name? Garrett, I've made yes. my decision. I mimeographed it and emailed it. Everyone in the community knows what I want. I made it very clear. The boy is now in our home. I think it should be very evident to Terry and also to Babe and Kitty Gillette, who are also very elderly, that they either get the lights off of their house, and Babe and Kitty Gillette are Jewish, so we usually let them keep the lights up longer. Nonetheless, the lights need to come down, because I feel, and I think Garrett, you could relate to this, I think it's disrespectful to me. I think what they're doing is they're purposely taunting me. I think they're saying, ha-ha, you know.
I mean, that's fine and everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, that mm-hmm. stinks, but isn't a homeowners mm-hmm. association run kind of like a democracy?
Mm-hmm.
You vote on it, and then there's somebody who has the final say.
You got a demography, sir?
What do you mean by a demography?
Democracy.
Oh,
right. As in, everybody mm-hmm. votes, and then one person upholds that law kind of situation. It seems to me that you're trying to...
Mm-hmm.
Maybe give yourself some sort of executive order power or something.
Well, what I'm saying is this. In a time, I think what you're saying is absolutely correct. I think you also know that at a time when there is a crisis, I think we saw it most recently with the floods and the hurricane, then the president has dictatorial power.
That's correct, yeah.
And that's what we're saying. We're saying that we had a problem. We've got Jewish and Christian people with lights up, and the Christians are pretending they're Jews, and the Jews are abusing the privilege, and we had a crisis. So I had to assume...
Yeah, the dictatorial...
Dictatorial powers.
I guess I still don't understand what gave you the right to get your extended play date.
No.
The extended play date is simply he's over here.
No, I think the gentleman is asking some good questions, and you're dancing around the answer, Ms. Dooley. That little boy is at your house.
I am not dancing around anything.
All this stuff about the Christians and the Jews, and the Jewish people get to keep their blue and white lights up because it's reparations for the Holocaust, is beside the point. Why are you not allowing people to leave the houses, the lights on the houses, when it's not in your homeowners association rule book? And this little boy, this man made a good point. If the guardian wants the kid home...
We have not yet gotten official word that they want him home. He's here. They do know that we have him, and they do know that we want the lights down. But we haven't... No one has said to us, send my son home.
Have they asked where the boy is?
Yes.
Okay, did they say we would like to have our son back?
No, Mr. Ryan, no, they did not.
No, they did not.
What did they say?
They asked for him to call.
And has he called?
You know, you're very nosy. That's none of your business.
All right, thank you very much, Garrett. Our number 877-876-PHIL. Here's a homeowners association that is has a rule saying you got to turn the Christmas lights and the Hanukkah lights off by the end of the New Year's weekend. And now she's saying, oh, I also want them off the house. Well, that's not in the rule book. So they're going around and they're basically kidnapping kids, kidnapping pets, and locking the old people, the elderly people, into their houses by, quote unquote, doing maintenance on their front and their back doors. 877-876-PHIL, Bobby Dooley just said here in a message, Hanukkah started December the 1st. People had their Jew lights up for way longer than they should. I had to act. Wow. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
What did you call them, Jew lights?
That has nothing to do with it. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. homeowners associations and Christmas lights and all of the things. When you live in a gated community or any community that has a homeowners association, there are certain rules and regulations concerning the appearance of your home. The lights at your community should be turned off by the New Year's weekend, Ms. Dooley, but you want the lights off the houses even though it's not in your rule book.
You know something, Mr. Henry?
Well, it's not.
We don't have a rule book. They're called CC&Rs. I told you that the Jew lights...
And they're not. They're called Hanukkah lights, ma'am.
All right. The Hanukkah lights were allowed to stay up longer so as payback for the Holocaust. So the Christians, who it's perceived caused the Holocaust, don't get to have their lights up. All right.
Well, that's a hell of a stretch, I got to tell you.
Anyway, excuse me, I'm not finished. We asked for the lights to be turned off, but they did not come off the houses. So a lot of the Christians, as well as the Jews, were attempting to skirt the rules and, show a lot of disrespect to me. And after everything that I've done for this community, I hand-planted the palm trees that are at our security gate. I put in many of the rose bushes that line the archway and the entryway.
My life's been a lot throughout the community.
I have done so much. And for people to say that I am kidnapping a boy, you ask that woman who is 62 and, quote, disabled, end quote, when she gets up from her five-time-a-night session with her boyfriend...
You know, again, that man made a very good point. That's very personal, and I don't want to have to talk about that, okay?
And you know something? I have to say, Muslims cause a lot of the problems in this country, but God bless them. There's not a single Muslim light up, okay? And I appreciate that. And I'd like to say one other thing. Brett Favre sends a text of his penis, and you are speaking to me this way, and my husband...
The Brett Favre story has nothing to do with this, ma'am.
I think it does.
We both think it does.
877-876-PHIL. We'll go to a phone call here in Palm Springs. Pam, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
Hello. I think
Hello.
That the situation sounds like this is more than this mm-hmm. lady can handle. And maybe mm-hmm. you should resign because, you know, you can be a dictator mm-hmm. when people pay money mm-hmm. to be a member. And mm-hmm. you don't like them having different things on, but there are people called Messianic Jews that believe in Jesus. And they will have
yes.
a Christmas tree. But the point is that it's not that
we're
spending a lot of time
we don't
as a Christian
that.
Term. You know,
we don't
you
recognize
know,
that in
lifestyle,
our...
But it's really a business. And, you know...
Well, ma'am, there's a difference between looking in someone's bedroom window... I'm not looking in their bedroom window to see them... I'm not watching... Mm-hmm.
Maybe you should go see
could
a doctor.
Would you please
handle? You know?
Could you use your phone properly? Could you use your phone properly?
So
because you're doing this.
And Christians, it doesn't make sense. And a life shouldn't make it matter. If they're on the building, it shouldn't make any matter. Because
could you please,
the building, it doesn't
put your lower teeth in
the value.
That's
not a million-dollar home.
Yeah. Could you put your lower bridge in, please? Because I cannot. I'm not kidding.
You planted all the trees and took the time to decorate.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a wonderful thing. And it's not
mm-hmm.
you're caring about too much, but maybe you're caring too much, you know? And it sounds like
no.
it's going to impact
it's
your
simply
life.
This. Do you live in a gated community? You live in Palm Springs, so I imagine. Do you live in a golf villa?
And they have expensive homes, but what I'm trying to say,
mm-hmm.
you know, if a woman
mm-hmm.
has a young boy, then
you
that's good for her. And if he doesn't
you
want to help
her,
then maybe
she's
he
doesn't.
You know?
Well, I could say you have a lot of disabled. I'm sure you have a lot of disabled in your... A direction?
Yeah, maybe we should vote for a new president because it seems like you can't handle it. I'm not being rude,
oh,
but...
No. I'm handling it fine.
Personal.
A lot of these Jews keep their lights up as a way of getting back at us. You know that, right? Secondly,
what is that supposed to mean?
We don't allow Messianic Jews.
We're not talking about the Jews and Christians like that. It's not necessary. You're talking about
Christians
on a building. It has nothing to do with someone's Christian.
Ma'am, this, you sound like you said to me you wiped out of a building.
Why is it offensive to you?
Well, first of all, we don't allow Messianic Jews in our community. Secondly,
it's not
well,
they,
well, it's a cult. It's a cult.
It is what? It's not a cult.
It's a cult. You said it's a cult.
What?
It's very... It's cult-like.
They believe in Jesus. That's what they do. They're Jews.
They're not Jews.
Understand something. You're being rude.
Well, I don't think you... you're not a Jew anymore, then. You are a... Although you do know that Hitler would still...
I don't think you understand...
Wait. Hold on. How did we get into arguing about this?
Well, Messianic Jews are not Jews. They're Christians. With noses. I don't understand.
What kind of racist, anti-Semitic crap is that you just said, Ms. Dooley? You're saying that they're Christians with big noses. You know.
Let me tell you something. Jesus was
sure.
He had a mezuzah.
The Bible's written for Jews, don't you know that?
Do you understand that if Hitler today came back with a cadre of SS, he wouldn't care if you were a Christian? You'd go right into the boxcar.
Okay, you know something? That's got nothing to do... Thank you very much, Pam. Very good phone call. It's got nothing to do with anything, Ms. Dooley. I'm shocked, okay?
What? Messianic Jews? No. We let them keep their lights up.
No, I know that you let them keep their lights up. The fact that you let them keep their lights...
Phil Hendry.
You don't get it.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It is one of the options. Now they have to wait and see if the
Antichrist... We have to sustain and hopefully expand the support in the American public.
You easily become overwhelmed. You think about a goal that sounds good to you.
It was horrible. You could not even get down the road.
And so I think the president is a moron.
That is a threat.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. News talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about every night until, the time that I said. That's right. Truth is our bitch, baby. We go places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot. They can, and increasingly, more and more of them cannot. What was your New Year's resolution? To lose weight? To quit smoking? Our next guest, Brass Villanueva, is with the Los Malos, which is a political action group, Hispanic political action group here in Los Angeles, talking about the inherent racism of New Year's resolutions. That's coming up here in a moment. 877-876-PHIL. Plus next hour, Margaret Gray will deliver a jam-packed, action-packed entertainment report having all to do with all of that, okay? 877-876-PHIL. And don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. You see, if you ain't got a backstage pass, then you don't know what's going on in this world. You sure as hell don't know what's happening with this radio show. And if you think you know and you don't have a backstage pass, you don't. So get a backstage pass. Watch the live streaming video of our show right now as I stare into the camera, deep into the camera with the love of Jesus and my beautiful blue eyes. And get that backstage pass and then access our archives, access our podcasts, access our episodes and our webisodes, our news blog, our video rants, our classic fills. Brother, it just doesn't end, man. And by the end of this month, we're going to have a video production going with this live video stream. It's going to look like The View. Well, 877, it'll be The View with one guy hosting it. 877-876-PHIL is the number. And again, we bring on Mr. Brass Villanueva. He's with Los Malos. And we're going to talk, before we do, I want to talk about these New Year's resolutions. Because Americans have resolved, according to the news, Americans have resolved to tighten their belts and to quit smoking in 2011. As you guys know, I quit smoking in 2010. Quitting smoking and tightening belts around their waists and on the household budget tops the list of America's New Year's resolutions for 2010. Here is today's show contributor, Dr. Gail Saltz, saying that regardless of your resolution, the best way to keep it is to write down your plan
of action.
People easily become overwhelmed. You think about a goal that sounds good to you, but it's usually multi-step. And by the time you get to step two or three, you're like, oh, this is just too hard. Forget about it. So if you write down concretely, how would you, and I would say do it in a weekly plan, week to week, what are the incremental changes that I'm going to make that will take me ultimately to the big change that I want to make? Mm. Everything can be broken down.
All right, Brad Villanueva joining us from Los Angeles. Mr. Villanueva, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
And thank you for joining us, sir. And you are with Los Malos?
That's correct. Los Malos, we have been a political action group since 2000, of young Latin males who are looking to suspend and to roll back these negative impressions in the media, negative impressions in the news, and any destructive impression or destructive handling of information regarding the Hispanic community. And we're also on the lookout for what we feel could be racist or a racist paradigm within the community.
And is that why you are talking about New Year's resolutions today?
Well, we have talked to a number of programs like yourself, Mr. Henry, today, okay, because we want the word out. Okay, that New Year's resolutions might be fun and a lot of fun, you know, for white community, Anglo Euro community, or people who can afford to give up this or give up that or tighten a belt here or go on a very expensive or fancy diet. Okay. That is not the case in the Hispanic community, and I dare say it's probably not the case in the Black community. And
let me interrupt you. How are New Year's resolutions racist?
How are New Year's resolutions racist?
Yeah.
Okay, New Year's resolution in and of themselves, if you were just saying, I resolve to be a better person, okay, or I resolve to do something, okay, that to contribute to my community, okay, but to say that I resolve to go on a diet, okay, or I resolve to give up cigarettes, okay, or I resolve to do things that are easy, okay, for Anglo-Eurocentric community to do. When I grew up in my community, the only thing that was to eat was food you'd get at a snack stand or down a liquor store, okay? Only thing I had to eat, okay, were the sugar-rich, high-carbohydrate snack food, okay, or soft drink, okay? So in the Hispanic community, saying I have a New Year's resolution, I'm going to, go on a diet, we do not have the money or the resources to go on expensive Anglo-Eurocentric diet. We don't have the money or the resources, okay, to dabble, dally, okay, in these different kinds of diet of the week or a new kind of budgeting or what do you call when you go and you get the the software for your TurboTax, okay? So we find that race.
All right, I don't want to interrupt you too much with questions that you may think are redundant or you've answered them before, but again, I'm not exactly sure. We're talking to Brass Villanueva here with Los Malos. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. That New Year's resolutions in your book are a racist thing because they're the only kinds of things that only white people, right?
Well, I said Anglo-Eurocentric people, right, okay, who are able to, engage in that kind of ridiculous hobby, okay? The New Year's resolution is racist because there's no way that a minority, okay, like a Hispanic, can partake in a New Year's resolution. My people only have, okay, 7-Eleven and a corner gas station for food, okay? So if we resolve to diet or be healthier, we fail, okay? Resolutions were constructs of the white man. Yet another way to keep minority down, because the white people, okay, say, let's have a resolution, okay, well, I'm going to give up cream puffs and Twinkie and everything, okay? Well, if I do that, that's the only thing that I know. So again, the resolution is a construct of the Anglo-Euro, okay, people who can afford these kinds of things.
Well, what if Hispanic people just didn't adopt New Year's resolutions.
Well, that is essentially the point that we are making today and that we made at the confab at Cal State LA. And when we told the assembled students there, okay, as well as the teacher conference, okay, that we are telling them now, do not engage, okay, in this racist agenda of New Year's resolution. I'm going to go on a New Year's resolution, okay? I'm going to go on a diet. Well, don't kid yourself. If you're a young Latina, you're Latino, you're saying I'm going to go on a diet. All you're saying is, okay, I'm going to adopt some expensive way of eating that I can't afford. You know as well as I do that my people go to the co-op. We're going to eat Santa Fe chili or chipotle or something out of the can like that. Or maybe go to a butcher shop and get whatever, meat and gravy is available to me, okay? Because I don't have the money, okay, to go and buy bulga caviar and everything that the Eurocentric do. So these constructs that the Anglo-Euro...
No, what do you mean by construct?
Well, what I mean by construct?
Yeah.
What I mean by that is that these are created by the Anglo-Euro society for their own amusement, okay, as well as to laugh at the Hispanic or African monkey, okay?
Why do you say monkey, you know?
Well, that when you ask me about a construct, that's all I'm saying. It's got nothing to do with anything, but when they say construct, okay, that's what they mean. They mean...
Why did you say the con? That's for the monkey?
Yeah, that's what it means, though. It means that, okay, you are, in other words, a white man, you came up with this construct of a New Year's resolution so that you can keep a New Year's resolution, but the monkey, okay, the monkey man can't do it. All right, that's all I'm saying.
But that word is that I you're, so that's how racist it is. It's like a enjoyment of whites to watch Hispanics fail?
I don't know if it started out that way, okay, but I do know that the New Year's resolution is strictly a white construct because I can't go on the diet that they can go on, okay? I can't give up the food they can give up, okay? I can't say, okay, I'm not gonna have a grape drink, okay? I'm not gonna have Hostess coconut ball, okay? I'm not gonna have a Dorito. I'm not gonna have a nacho or the cheese. I can't do that because I don't have those choices because I don't have the economic choice.
So the New Year's resolution is an expensive thing to keep.
That is correct, yes, sir. And also, the questions you're asking, Mr. Henry, are very basic questions that you already had an answer to, so it is a little racist for you to be asking these questions like I'm a dumb ape, okay?
No, sir, I don't think that at all, okay? I don't think that at all.
Well, you're asking some pretty obvious questions.
Well, it may be, but I don't think you're dumb or a dumb ape. Hold on for a minute. I'm asking the question why he thinks that New Year's resolutions are racist, and he says it's because Hispanics and blacks can't afford to keep New Year's resolutions. They can't afford to go on these diets. They can't afford to eat the food that the Anglo-Euro New Year's resolution would demand of a person going on a diet. 877-876-PHIL. So they had a meeting today, I think, over at Cal State LA, where they had a Hispanic student union saying that they're giving up New Year's resolutions as a white man's construct. It's got nothing to do with the Hispanic community. 877-876-PHIL. Talking to Brad Phil and a waiver from Los Malos. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Okay, welcome back. 877-876-PHIL. And Brad Villanueva joins me here from Los Malos. It's a political action committee comprised of young Latin males, as you say, Brass, and you're looking to redesign the media image of Hispanic people. Now, the New Year's resolution I never looked at as being racist, but I understand. I'm strictly a white man here. And you're saying that it is a racist construct because the New Year's resolutions that white people come up with are generally really expensive.
That is correct. That's right.
Okay. Well, who says that Hispanic people have to do those?
No, you know. See, you don't understand, Stanley. Hispanic people, all people, okay, are going to engage in, okay, a New Year's resolution. Okay. The New Year's resolution that the white construct of these New Year's resolutions are is that they're going to go on a diet. Okay, and most of these diets that these whites or Anglo-Euros go on are expensive, okay, expensive water, okay, it's expensive foods, okay, vegetables that Hispanics do not have the same access to vegetables that whites have, and they don't have access to the same expensive waters that whites have. Okay, and so right there, if you say, I'm going to go on a diet, I can't go on the same diet that a white, that you would go on, okay? Because I don't have access to the same vegetable, and I don't have access to the same water, you know, water.
And well, wait, you go into a supermarket.
Okay, well, hold on. Now, I don't go in the same supermarket you go into. I go into a supermarket, okay, where there's a lot of roots. Most, if you go into the Hispanic or Latin market, you're not going to find, okay, vegetables that are like those kinds that, you know, not vegetables, but fruit. There's a lot of roots, a lot of thick roots, turnips, okay? So I can't go on a fancy diet, okay, of watercress or parsley. I've got to go on thick root-based diets, okay, that I'm not sure are going to work. I mean, a turnip diet or a rutabaga diet, I don't know, okay? Then you go to the water. I don't have access to the water. Hispanic people have traditionally been cut off from clean water for a variety of reasons, okay? And Hispanic people have been forced for a variety of reasons to get their water out of a faucet, go to a neighbor's faucet, and drink out of that, you know, with one knee on the ground, okay? So that also is difficult, okay?
And I don't understand. I don't understand you. I just don't understand you. You're telling me that you do not have access to the same vegetables, that you got to go on root-based diets.
Because if you go into a Latin market.
You can go into a Latin market. I've been to a Latin market. Why don't you go into a regular supermarket?
You almost said, see, you wanted to say a white man's market, didn't you?
No, I was going to say a regular mainstream supermarket.
What's wrong with a Latin market?
Because apparently, according to you, it doesn't have the vegetables that you want to go on the right kind of diet. Let me take a phone call here, 877-876-PHIL. And we have Floyd in Chico, California. Floyd, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Brass Villanueva. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm a truck driver. I run across country all the time. And okay. I know a lot of Hispanic people, and a New Year's resolution is not a racist thing. It's a good thing. I resolved to quit smoking last 2 years ago in January, and I quit smoking. That doesn't make me racist because I quit smoking. Sounds to me like we're connecting everything to race.
No, but what I'm saying, okay, is that you can quit smoking as a Euro-Anglo, okay, because you don't have the same pressure that I have as a Hispanic. I can't quit smoking because of the pressure that I've been put under by the Anglo-Euro paradigm, okay? So that's what I mean about the construct being racist. I can't quit smoking or quit drinking. If I do, I would blow up or I don't know what would happen. See what I mean? So you can quit smoking, and everything's chill.
My friend, I can only say this to you, is that you need to jump off the racist wagon and jump on the real people wagon, because, you know what, I eat a lot of Mexican food. That's all I eat, as a matter of fact, because of where I haul to and don't haul to. And their foods are good, and as far as the vegetables go and the fruits go, do you know that 90% of the vegetables that we get in the winter come from Mexico? We don't jump. I pick them up in Arizona and take them to Washington and California and Oregon out of Arizona when they come over from the Mexican, from the border.
That's right. So that's true. That's true.
People don't have good fruits and vegetables. Come on, my friend.
No, I'm saying that a lot of the good fruits and vegetables are Mexican, but they do come to the Euro-Anglo border town and go Euro. All those vegetables wind up in an Anglo house. And what's left is a rutabaga for me.
You have the same right to go to them and buy them than I do.
That's true. But
stop you from buying them, but you.
No, that's true. But what's that going to look like, okay, of me going in to an Anglo market and picking through rutabaga and everything, right? Because the
No. He's saying you go. You don't have to eat rutabaga. You can eat, go in, and
well, yeah, but what I'm trying to tell both you gentlemen is, after years and years and years of going on a beet diet or a root diet, now I'm in the white or in the Anglo-Euro market, and I don't know what to buy. And they've taken all my vegetables.
You know what, my friend? There's something definitely wrong with your thinking, because you know what I haul down to Arizona to go into Mexico? I haul apples and pears and things that go into Mexico that they sell in Mexico. So you're not going to tell me that you don't have the same food. You do have them. You, my friend, are on a racist card. And you know what? That's more racist than any white man could ever be.
Well, sir, I don't live in Mexico, sir. I live in America, okay? I know what you mean, but in a lower-income Hispanic community, the pear and the apple, it bypasses us. It goes right straight to a wealthy Mexican home. The vegetables that come from Mexico goes into your house or into the Anglo house. And what's left to me is I have to eat.
Let me tell you something, my friend. When I was growing up, I used to go out and poach pheasant, poach duck, because that's the only meat that went onto my table. For my mother and I. You know, so don't tell me about being poor, my friend. I've been there.
Well, you had duck meat. You had duck. I don't even have duck. I don't even have no duck. See, we can't do that now. If I tried to go out and poach a duck, the LAPD, the only place to do it is MacArthur Park.
You know what I'm saying? I'll tell you what. There were times when I took breadcrumbs and run them from the doggone pond to William Land Park in Sacramento into the back seat of my car and stole ducks and went along their necks, and that's what went on our table. So don't tell me, my friend.
Are you telling me you stole a duck, you killed a duck on a pond in downtown Sacramento?
The guy took them right off the doggone, right out of the doggone park at William Land Park in Sacramento.
Well,
so don't tell me about being poor, my friend. I grew up poor.
Well, that's not, I didn't have no ducks. See, what I'm saying is at least you had a duck. We didn't, where I grew up, there were no duck ponds.
All right. Listen, Floyd, thank you so much, sir. That was a great story. We'll be back here with Brass Villanueva as we talk about New Year's resolutions and how they're racist, according to his organization, Los Malos, 877-876-PHIL.
I didn't grow up with ducks.
Phil Hendry.
No ducks.
Welcome back here to the Phil Hendry Show and philhenryshow.com. If you can watch live streaming video of our show with a backstage pass, do it. We're over there, and our backstage pass shows the show being performed as we perform it right now. And with me is Brass Villanueva of Los Malos as we talk about New Year's resolutions. And I will tell you, and I told you this off the air, Mr. Villanueva, I've never heard of New Year's resolutions.
I wish you'd call me Brass, too.
Okay, Brass.
I don't want to be formal, okay, and I don't mean anything, okay, against you, Mr. Henry.
No, I know that. I've never heard of New Year's resolutions being racist.
Well, to answer your question, last gentleman that was on talked about eating duck, that he was so poor he ate duck, okay. Mr. Henry, I'm from a Hispanic community, okay. I think every Hispanic person right now, okay, listening to me right now, okay, will understand what I'm saying, okay? Duck, that you might as well say it's a like a dinosaur, animal that I've never seen, okay? Because in my neighborhood was cats and dogs, and I'm not Asian, okay?
And, well, what does that mean?
Well, in other words, I'm not going to eat a cat or a dog, okay?
Well, that Asian people don't eat cats and dogs.
No, I understand that, sir. See, I'm not being racist. What I'm saying is the racism comes from the whites, okay, and or the Anglos. And for me to go into an Anglo-Euro market or like Trader Joe's, okay, or Whole Foods, okay, confuses the Hispanic because of the selection of vegetables and root vegetables that are there, okay? That is confusing. And it's racist. Because if I look at, for instance, I went to a Trader Joe's, okay, and I saw a selection of stir-fried scallop, I think was what it was, okay? That's something so far beyond the experience of a Hispanic person that even if I could afford that, which I'm not saying that I can, okay, I would not know, okay, what to do with that, as crazy as it sounds, okay?
If you saw a bag of stir-fried scallops at Trader Joe's, and you could afford to buy that, would you buy it?
No, I would not.
Why not?
I don't know what that is. I'm not, it's not part of my personal paradigm, okay? That's what I mean about racism. So the only thing that I could eat that comes out of the ocean, okay, if I knew what it was, like tuna is all, okay? And that is the experience of the Hispanic person, is what I'm trying to tell you. That's why it's racist to say, go have a diet. What am I going to eat? Scallop. Okay, that's racist. I don't know. Am I going to go on a tuna diet? Okay, I can do that, but that's all I know, and that's a limiting thing, and it's racist.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. So Hispanic people, because they're not familiar with scallops, if they're going to go on a seafood diet, for instance, it's got to be tuna or nothing.
It would have to be tuna out of a can, yes, sir.
877-876-PHIL. Let me go to some phone calls here. 877-876-PHIL with Brass Phil and a wave. James in Fresno. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show, sir.
Yes, I am sorry, sir, but you are severely misinformed about racism. Okay? Mexicans, they do eat fish, lots of it. Ceviche, they eat very well. Okay? I go to Mexican stores specifically to buy their food.
Mexico, okay? Yeah. But I'm talking about American.
Okay, I grew up eating government cheese myself, sir. My mom and parents, we were on food stamps. We lived in the ghetto, okay? And this Anglo-American, and I didn't construct anything. Okay, listen, I don't mean to get angry.
Right?
You're just severely misinformed, sir.
But your racism, see, is coming through
no.
Right now,
see,
okay?
Okay, now,
see,
would it be racist for me to say I want to start an Anglo youth club at my kid's high school? Would that be racist for me?
Yes, sir, it would. Yes,
okay, would it be racist for you, then, to have an African-American youth club at the same high school?
No, it would not, sir.
No, why would it not be, then? Why would it not be? Why is it okay for blacks and Mexicans, and I'm sorry, I'm not trying to point anybody out, to say they can have black entertainment television, but I can't have white entertainment television? Okay, I'm saying it's ridiculous. You guys are trying to find everything in the world to make your situation somebody else's fault.
You already do have white entertainment television.
Okay. Yeah.
Every channel.
We cannot call it white entertainment television like you can black entertainment television, because then that would be racist. You take voting to the furthest extreme. I'll let you speak. I'm not trying to overtalk you. It's just frustrating.
You don't need to, see. But we need
it's frustrating when people are misinformed and uneducated. We don't live in the South, sir. We do not live in the South. I love you just the same as my other brother. I don't care what color you are.
I don't care about that.
There is no such thing as an Anglo market. I've never seen an Anglo market.
I need to know.
Little whitey boy market.
You would not know it, but if you're Hispanic, you would know an Anglo market, because it's all the food that you can't eat, you know. I can't eat what you eat.
You have no idea. Do you know anybody in the Hispanic community? Do you even know them?
I can't. Yes, I do, and I can't eat.
I'm eating tripas out of a tractor disc. Okay?
Have you ever eaten
good Mexican food? They eat well. And they don't try
food?
Blame. Wait a minute. Let me finish. Can I finish?
No,
they
don't
try blaming their situation on the white man.
Well, I don't know who you're talking to, but
are you serious?
I don't know who you're talking to. You might be talking to some Aunt Jemima or what
do
you call it?
No, sir. You're uneducated. People don't think like that anymore. We're not walking around with
Uncle Ron
outfit. We don't care if you're black. We don't care if you're Mexican. We don't care if you're Asian. And the whole comment about Asians eating cats and dogs, that's ridiculous. Do you still think that way, dude?
The last gentleman said that he ate a duck. And I said,
if I was hungry, I would eat a duck, too.
I didn't even have that. We had cats and dogs, and since I'm not Asian, I didn't eat those.
You have the same grocery stores as every other town in the United States, and if you don't have the money, the government will give you money to go and get that. Okay? I know.
Well,
I grew up
have you ever grown up around Mexicans? Because, first of all,
I live in Fresno, California, dude, the great capital of the world.
Which, all right.
Hey, I'm trying to get along, but it's very frustrating, the way people
Mike, you can't be black, okay? So quit trying to be black.
I ain't trying
what
to be
What does that mean, quit trying?
You're talking about different black IDs.
I love them. They're great. They're great.
You don't love them, man. You're just trying to hang. You know, you're trying to hang.
You don't understand is
are you homeless?
We're not racist. We don't hate you.
And who's we?
The NPO. We don't construct things against you.
Well, who's we, man? I mean, are you part of an organization?
No, I am just an American trying to get by.
All right, thanks for your call, sir. 877-87.
Who wants to be a black man, you know? And I'm not even black. I'm Hispanic. And so I don't know what he was talking about.
Well, he was saying that you are leaning on the racist card too heavy. And he had a lot of very stereotypical ideas, but the fact of the matter is, you were saying that black guys should be allowed to, and Hispanic people should be allowed to, but white people can't. I understand all of that, but I still don't get what you're saying when you say that you can't eat stir-fried scallops.
I can't eat stir-fried scallops. That white man said that he eats the same way I eat. Well, if he eats the same way I eat, he ain't never had a stir-fried scallop.
Well, that doesn't mean Hispanic people don't eat that.
If I don't eat it, Hispanic people don't eat it.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to another phone call here. Mike in Lexington, North Carolina. Go ahead, Mike. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Brassville Nueva.
Yeah, this guy, he's racist. I'm married to a Hispanic woman, and, you know, we're not rich or anything. But we eat a lot of Mexican food, and my wife loves Chinese, and there's a lot of Hispanic population where I'm at down here in North Carolina. And they're poor, and they can afford to eat, and they could go on a diet or whatever, and they can make New Year's resolutions.
Can they go on an Anglo diet?
You could make a New Year's resolution if you want to go on a diet. Lose weight. You can quit smoking, too. And quit drinking.
If you're Hispanic, you can't go on a regular New Year's resolution diet because of the white construct.
My wife is from Costa Rica. She's Hispanic. And she made a New Year's resolution that she's going to lose weight. So you tell me.
How's she gonna do that if she has she ever had scallops?
What's that?
Has she ever had stir fried scallops?
Yes, she has.
Well, see, I don't understand
that. She eats refried beans, and we have tortillas, tacos. We have the Mexican food along with the American food.
What about do you have the burrito supreme? Have you had that?
Yes.
You have had the burrito supreme. What about, have you ever had, the soft taco, the fish taco, three for a dollar?
What do you mean three for a dollar?
Taco
Bell.
That's Taco Bell. Look it.
No, I want to know if this gentleman, if she can go on a diet, then I'm all for her.
Can
go on an Anglo diet.
That's her favorite fast food place is Taco Bell. And I'm telling you, you're Hispanic and you're using it, you're racist. You're an American. You just admitted you were an American. You weren't Hispanic, you were American.
Sort of am, yeah.
What does that mean,
What?
I sort of am an American, but I don't feel American because I can't I can't eat that. I can't go into an Anglo market and look at that vegetable and feel as if I know it.
Oh, yes, you can. We have supermarkets here that have Hispanic section with all the Hispanic foods.
Do they have Hispanic vegetables?
Yes, they do. And all the spices and everything that are Hispanic. Yep. Yeah, every supermarket here has a Hispanic section.
Are the beets from Spain? Do the beets come from Spain?
No, they're not from Spain. They're from Mexico.
Okay, that's what I mean, Mexico.
Yeah. Well,
what do you mean, are the beets from Mexico?
Yeah, that's if I walk in there, I can't recognize a vegetable.
What do you mean, recognize a vegetable? What's a beet look like that comes from Mexico?
No, you don't understand. It's labeled. It's just the whole thing, man.
All right, Mike, thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it. And good luck to your wife on her diet. 877-876-PHIL.
That guy said that his wife was going to go on a diet, but she loved Taco Bell. Taco Bell is American food. That's not Mexican food. That is American food. If I go into an Anglo-Euro market, all I'm going to see is American beet. It says it's a beet from Mexico, and if it's got a label.
Let me ask you a question. Are you telling me you feel uncomfortable in the produce section?
Henry, I I'm not laughing at you.
No, I just don't want to know. Are you feeling uncomfortable in the produce? Are you feeling uncomfortable, man, unless the beat says from Mexico?
You know, man, if I knew Spanish and I forgot my Spanish, I'd tell you to burn. Oh.
Well, I mean.
You want to get him back?
I don't know. He's saying that he feels uncomfortable in the produce section of the supermarket if the beets... Oh, is he back? Are you there, sir?
Yeah, I just want to say, Mr. Henry, I was not laughing at you. I was not mocking you.
No, I'm not mocking you. I'm just saying you felt uncomfortable in the produce section because the beet doesn't say made in Mexico.
You don't make a beet. Wow. You don't make a beet, man.
I mean grown or picked or whatever.
Product of. It would say product of Mexico. And I'm uncomfortable. I feel, I would rather be among vegetables. That are my kind of vegetables. You know, my people. They're not my people, but.
So you feel a little.
Oh man, I hate you.
So in other words, he feels a little put off, man. If he's standing in the produce section, what's the matter?
You shouldn't laugh at him.
Why not laugh at him? Are you kidding me? 877-876-PHIL. More of your calls here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Plus, David Arquette heads to rehab in the Margaret Gray Entertainment Report as well. Newly debuted Margaret Gray Entertainment Report. The world-famous Phil Henry Show with Brass Phil and a Wave. We're back in a moment.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
I do. I feel intimidated.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Back here with Brass Villanueva, who is a member of Los Malos, a Hispanic empowerment group, a political action group that believes New Year's resolutions are a racist, white, or Anglo-Euro construct. Now, I got to tell you, Brass, it sounds like the stuff of almost a joke, you know.
Well, I mean, to you it's a joke, yeah. Okay, I mean...
you could be right. When I hear, the racist New Year's resolutions, it's almost like the same as saying the racist, the racist fire retardant suit, the racist telephone design.
Mr. Henry, I can assure you that this is not some trivial, point of view, meant for your amusement or anybody who is listening to your program, as much as you have tried to take it in that direction,
Well, I no, I haven't, sir.
I believe you have. This is in the last segment. You was laughing about me being uncomfortable. In the produce section of an Anglo-Euro market. I tried to explain to you, as well as explain to your other callers. And that man who was married to a Hispanic lady, and that other white man who has been in the black section eating black-eyed peas. All this. If I go into an Anglo-Euro market, I, as a Hispanic, am not familiar with it, okay? I'm familiar with the market, okay? And I know about Coca-Cola and everything. But if I go into where they keep the apples, and or I'm there where they keep peaches or nectarines, then I'm immediately put off, okay? There's an intimidation factor, okay? And I'm sure you felt that way if you've been into a neighborhood that's a black neighborhood or a Hispanic neighborhood. You know?
No. You're talking about going into a produce section of a supermarket.
That's correct. Yes, sir.
Well, what's that got to do with me going into a black neighborhood or a Hispanic neighborhood?
Well, that's what the point that I'm trying to make to you, okay, about New Year's resolutions being for a white construct, because you can do a diet eating white food if you can afford it. You cannot do a diet eating white food if you're Hispanic. You can't afford it. So I'm immediately, and also I'm not familiar with it. So I feel as if I'm standing in the middle of, like I'm down near Western, okay, the night that the, okay, Rodney King verdict came in, okay? And all of them are the vegetables.
What are you talking about, man?
Forget it.
I understood what he said.
Yeah, I'll bet you did understand what he said. I'll bet you did. You know?
Well, what?
He's telling me that he goes into a supermarket and stands there in front of the vegetables and feels the way, I'm sure, the way you would have felt down on Western the night the Rodney King verdict came in? What does that mean?
He's intimidated by it.
Let me tell you something, man. If I'm cruising through any neighborhood that I shouldn't have been in when the night the Rodney King verdict came down, I'd be scared to death. How do you stand in a vegetable section of a supermarket feeling that kind of fear?
Well, no, you didn't say that. He said that he's not with his own people.
What do you mean his own people, man? He's standing around lettuce and apples.
Yeah, but he meant about lettuce and apples that are grown in Mexico.
Well, then if that's what he meant, then what he should have done is come up with a better way of saying it. Oh, my God.
What?
Oh, come on, man. If you don't like certain foods, it ain't like you're about to get beat up. You know, you ain't down on Western about ready to get beat up because the Rodney King verdict came down and it exonerates the cops. You feel like you're in that kind of fear, huh? I don't get it, man. All right, world famous Phil Henry Show. Thank you very much, Mr. Villanueva.
See, when you laugh like that, that's what made him feel bad.
You know what, man? Anybody that didn't laugh at that, there's something wrong with them. Anyway, thank you very much, Mr. Villanueva. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, and our website, philhenryshow.com. Brand new year, and the website continues to grow. Not only you find people subscribing to it, but new offerings, not only our Phil podcasts, our classic Phils, a whole new series of video offerings will be coming up. We continue to turn all of our archives into downloads. We continue to add to the archives, filling it all out, man, so that not only do we have every single archive tape from 1999 to the present, at least, all of it will be downloadable and all of our show logs complete. It's a big, big project, but we are getting it done. We'll be back next hour. Margaret Gray with her entertainment report on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Man, I feel sorry for you.
From the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
People easily become overwhelmed. You think about a goal that sounds good to you, but it's usually multi-step.
We have to sustain and hopefully expand the support in the American
public. It is one of the options. Now they have to wait and see if the anti-buy kicks in.
It was horrible. You could not even get down the road without running over
carpet bagger. Famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. They're not forced to. They're called the Fred Thompson Show. And now, way, an ESPN broadcaster lands in hot water for an off-air spat with a colleague. Why do we know about it? Because we know everybody's business now, don't we? Brett Favre gets hit with a sexual harassment lawsuit, naturally. And a Facebook picture has serious repercussions for some nursing students. Margaret Gray also joins us in our next segment with a Hollywood report on Zsa Zsa Gabor, who is not doing good, man. Not as far as I can tell. Robert Leonard is with us. Bud Dickman. You guys have a good Christmas?
Yeah, a pretty good one. But I just spent at my mom's house and everything.
What about you, Robert?
Yeah, I was with my aunt. And then I went and I tell you, I gotta hit the gym now, man.
Yeah, you had gravy on your face.
I don't have gravy. Yeah, you think I got gravy?
Why do you think he had gravy?
Well, there's something shiny.
I sweat, man.
Were you sweating?
Yeah. I run all the way over here from the bus stop because I couldn't find the keys to my car. Then my aunt said she had it.
Couldn't find the keys to your car, so you took the bus here?
Yeah, nobody takes a bus around here.
Yes, they do. Seriously?
Yeah. And so anyway, I was sweating. He think I had gravy on my face.
They have gravy, man, okay?
Well, I know if you take to the shower.
If you take to the shower.
I shower every day, you slob.
Anyway, 877-876-PHIL took the bus, huh? So why'd your aunt have the car?
I don't know. So all of a sudden, she said, I got to take the car to go to the doctor. I knew she'd said something, but I forgot all about it.
Did you get the car back?
I get it back in the house now.
You got a ride home?
Yeah, but with him.
I said I'd give him a ride.
On his bike?
No, he said he'd ride on the back.
No, I ain't riding on the back. You're riding on the back.
All right, well, you guys need to work that one out. 877-876-PHIL. He's pointing at you. It's his bike, you know?
Yeah, tell me about it.
Anyway, 877-876-PHIL, and online at philhenryshow.com, live streaming video of our show, as well as audio of our show, as well as archives of our show. So head on over there and check it out, man. And I'm telling you, things are afoot, brothers and sisters. Things are afoot. Things are afoot. But we've got some heavy things waiting for you, as well as not just on the website, but on the show. But I do want to mention to you that we're going to be upgrading our video presentation it's going to be a beautiful thing, man. It's going to look like Wake Up L.A. or Good Go, you know, Drop Dead L.A. or whatever that Regis and Kathy Leith or Regis and Kelly or Regis and somebody. It's going to look even better than that, man.
You know, I have like a backdrop of L.A. and all that.
Yeah, like the ocean.
Yeah, we're going to have all that backdrop thing, a green screen thing. Oh, it's going to be beautiful. All right, there's an ESPN broadcaster named Ron Franklin. I wouldn't know this guy, man, if he dropped dead in my home. Ron Franklin, who's he?
He's pretty famous.
I never heard of this guy. Anyway, he's never heard of me, and that's fine, but he's the guy that's in trouble. He called some reporter, a sideline reporter, Janine Edwards, sweet cakes and an a-hole, not on the air, okay?
Yeah, double-check that.
Yeah, so this has got nothing to do with him being on the air. This was an off-air spat. This was something that happened in a meeting. So I almost feel a little dirty reporting this to you, because I don't think it's really any of your or my business, to be honest with you.
Why not?
Because it didn't happen on the air. This happened off the air, behind the scenes. It was a problem between two employees, but what the hell? You know, it's out there now. What happened was the following thing. Franklin said in a statement, blah, blah, he's sorry. But anyway, Franklin and Edwards were scheduled to work together for Friday's Chick-fil-A Bowl. Boy, that's the... He should have turned down that assignment.
Yeah, anything called the Chick-fil-A and everything.
I would have said, no, thank you, man. Anything called the Chick-fil-A Bowl has got bad news written all over it.
Doesn't sound lucky.
But he did, and the incident occurred in a pregame production meeting. It was attended by ESPN announcers Ed Cunningham and Rod Gilmore. When the conversation turned to the subject of Gilmore's wife, Marie, being elected mayor of Alameda, California, Edwards, this is Janine Edwards, tried to join in but was shut down by Franklin, according to the report. Franklin told her, and we're quoting, "Why don't you leave this to the boys, sweet cakes," end quote. Now, did he really say that? I don't know. What report is this? Well, this is some report that was filed with ESPN. It has, I'm sure it was not intended for publication. And the chances that they got it right are slim to none, you know. Anyway, she said to him, "Don't call me sweet cakes. I don't like being talked to like that." Franklin then said, "Okay, then, a-hole, and he used the whole word.
Yeah, I said,
don't say it.
We know what he said. Edwards reported Franklin's comments to ESPN management, who attempted to pull him from the Chick-fil-A Bowl broadcast, in which he said, thank you, I didn't want to do that game anyway. And they said, well, how would you like it that you don't do a game ever again as long as you're walking this earth? And he went, I don't think so. Well, then shut up. He was then pulled from the Fiesta Bowl. How do you like that? ESPN said in a statement that adhering to our personal conduct policies and showing respect for colleagues, yada, yada. It's not the first time he's been involved in sexist remarks to a female. Apparently, they've had a problem with this guy. Now, this is all off the air. Again, this is not on the air. This is off the air. So I jumped to the conclusion saying, what kind of an unprofessional slob is he saying these things on the air? But he didn't. He's just a slob, but he's not an unprofessional slob.
Yeah, kept it behind the scenes.
Right. On October the 1st, 2005, according to the Chicago Tribune, during a game between Notre Dame and Purdue, Elliot Ness and the Franklin was calling sideline reporter Holly Rowe praised Purdue defensive coordinator Brock Spack for using all three timeouts on defense despite trailing by four touchdowns late in the game. If the coaches are giving up, Rowe added, what does that say to the players? Franklin responded, Holly, it's not giving up, it's 49-21, sweetheart. In response to that, Mo Davenport, senior coordinating producer for college football, said it was an inappropriate comment, and we've communicated that to Ron. There's never a reason to say something so mean-spirited. Ron apologized. We dealt with it internally. Franklin is 68 years old. He's been with ESPN since 1987. He's been a commentator on basketball and college football. I don't know who the hell he is, but he's had a behind-the-scenes problem talking to women in an insulting way. So, you know, you don't say sweet cakes, Jack, and you don't say, you don't do that. See what I'm saying? I thought he said it on the air. He didn't say it on the air.
Oh, it's like just saying it in the office.
It was like saying it in the office, yeah. So he's just an idiot. If he'd said it on the air, I would have said that he has got a brain tumor or something, you know. But saying it off the air and just saying it in the office, he's an idiot, but at least I can still admire him professionally.
Right.
Thank you. Okay. So there's that. And speaking of slurs, we have Chris Brown used a gay slur on Twitter. Now, we got involved in something here this weekend. Some guy who calls himself a progressive, he's like a liberal, at least he's in favor of the Dream Act, he called Greg Gutfield of Red Eye a F-word, you know? And so Jeff Dowder was on Twitter, and Jeff Dowder said, hey, how can you be a progressive and call a guy an F-word? And the guy said, it's not a slur against gays, it's a curse word. And then Dowder said, why, you dumb Mexican? And
no, he didn't.
Well, it was something like that. But so this is that. But that was like a political conversation. This progressive dude. But in his world, being liberal means just like being in favor of the Dream Act. He don't want nothing to do with them gays. Now, here's Chris Brown, who's black. So we certainly. I'm joking. OK,
man, watch out, man. We're not all a bunch of like hate gay people and everything.
I'm kidding. All right. Chris Brown seems to be a pro at alienating his fan base. You mean all of the gay guys that are...
No, man, he don't go gay. That's not his fan base.
Well, the troubled, that's what it says here in the Us Weekly. The troubled R&B singer who famously assaulted then-girlfriend Rihanna in February 2009 when she called him a queer. No, she didn't. I'm kidding. He famously assaulted her, though, in February 2009, waged war with former B2K member Raz B on Wednesday, calling him a D... blank CK in the booty. You get it, okay?
Man, what is it, like code or something?
I don't know, but it's very involved. So he basically called him gay, and not even gay. It was almost like jail gay or something. I don't know.
Yeah, like punk gay.
Anyway, though Raz B started the feud, he tweeted that he didn't understand how people like Brown and Eric Benet can disrespect women as intelligent as Halle Berry and Rihanna. It was Brown who fanned the flames. Tell me this, blankety blank, why when the money was coming in, you won't complaining about getting, and he goes into all this homo stuff. You know, you younger rappers, you're all about money. I understand that. And you're all about, you sound stupid, basically, is what I'm trying to say. Money, 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 money. One of the things about money, if you really want to have a little bit of class, which I know you probably don't, don't talk so much about money. You got money. You don't have to talk about having the money.
Why?
What do you mean, why? all these hip hop, these young guys, they're all about, you know, what is it that Ice-T says? He's caked out?
Yeah, he is caked out.
All right. I guess Ice-T can say that, but he didn't even go out. He's not running around telling people that. He was talking to Soldier Boy for some reason. But what I'm saying is the following thing. Why do these young guys got to talk about all the bread they got? Man, we know you got bread, man. When you talk about all the bread you have, you sound like you're going to lose it all tomorrow. You sound like you're holding on to it. Like, you know, you're holding on to you're hanging off a 100-story building or something. All this money I got, and money, money, my rolls, and money, 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 and all the women that love you, the women that love you, the women that love you. You know, you're talking all about the chicks and all about this bread, and you got all of that, and you sound like you're going to lose it tomorrow. That's how desperate you sound when you're singing that way.
Yeah, but what else are you going to sing about?
Well, there's a good point. Anyway, Browns fans accused him of being homophobic. His fans accused him of this. The 24-year-old singer claimed his attacks weren't intended to insult anyone but Raz B. I'm not homophobic. He's just disrespectful. By the way, I love all my gay fans, and this immature act is not targeted at you. It's whack as F that everybody can bash me, but as soon as I defend myself, it's World War III. You see, all of these guys, man, you are so put upon, Brown. You're such a, oh, poor me. You know, you got all this money, you got all these chicks, you got all this, you got all that, and you feel so put upon. How can a guy as great as you have everybody just crapping all over you? Well, I don't know. Maybe it's because, you know, they don't like you. Maybe you're ugly. Maybe you're not as sweet as you think you are. Who knows? You got all that bread, so what do you care? All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Margaret Gray will have the really important, what is it, bud?
She's going to have Zsa Zsa Gabor. She's going to have her leg taken off or something.
Like I said, the big entertainment news. Well, no, it is. It's important. It's Zsa Zsa, man. 877-876-PHIL. Margaret Gray next here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Henry Show. Listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Margaret Gray joining us from Dicklin, the Dicklin Syndicate in Santa Monica. And it's time for our entertainment report. Margaret, how are you?
You know, can you turn that down, please? Can you turn that down? Thank you. I was hoping you'd find something a little less cliche, but.
Well, I'm sorry, I didn't pick the music, you know.
Well, who picked that?
I did.
Who?
I did.
Well, I don't appreciate it. I think it sounds very cliche, but...
All right, well, we'll try not to have it next week.
I mean, listen, if we're aimed for Hollywood, that is... God.
All right, so we won't have it next week.
Fine. Thank you very much. I'm Margaret Gray here in Hollywood, and this is my initial entertainment report that I think has been devalued slightly with that asinine music.
All right, we will not have it next week. I apologize.
Well, it's a little late, that's all. Zsa Zsa Gabor may have her leg amputated. Quiet.
Wait, hold on. Margaret, what's wrong?
There's nothing wrong. I'm doing my entertainment report as you told me to do it, but I'm doing it after Hooray for Hollywood, which is as cliche as it gets, and I'm just a little disappointed, that's all.
I apologize. We'll change the music.
Oh, I understand that.
All right, and now Margaret Gray and her Hollywood report.
Yeah, right. Zsa Zsa Gabor's going to get it cut off. Go. Would you go?
The options now they have to wait and see if the anti-bi kicks in. If the anti-bi kicks in and they know there is a future in healing, then they probably don't do it. But if they see there is no healing at all, you know, yeah, after the anti-bi, then they probably will do more. Hopefully she is not going to lose her leg, but they have to operate on the wound. They have to cut the wound out, that's for sure. The wound is almost 15 inches long and 6 inches wide,
well,
so it's a very big wound.
It is. All right, is that done?
Margaret, you don't sound like you've got it together.
I've got it together. Don't worry about it. That was the husband of Zsa Zsa Gabor, Klaus something, and he's talking about something being 6 inches long or 15. The point that I want to make, Phil, is this. I hope she loses the leg because you've put me in such a foul mood, given that hooray for Hollywood and the bad timing of your engineering. The fact that that young man, when I asked for the audio...
Well, when you asked for the audio, you went go.
I know what I said, and I'm not having a conversation with you. This is Margaret Gray's Entertainment Report, and I'm saying that I was going to comment on Zsa Zsa Gabor and how she's been a stalwart and a wonderful entertainer, but now because of the mood you've put me in, I hope she loses both legs.
Okay, I guess we're done, huh?
You got it. Oh, for God's sake.
Let me hear. Are you, Phil, are you there?
Frank, I'm here, yeah.
All right, he's in a bad mood. Can we do it again, and I'll get him in a better mood. And
will you hold on for a minute?
I can't hold on. I got to get him in a good mood.
Hold on. Frank Gray has a degenerative disease because of syphilis. He has gender confusion. Go ahead, Frank.
Go ahead, Frank, what?
Tell me what you were saying.
No, I'm just saying I'll get him ready, and then you have Dickman play that music she picked out.
What?
Don't worry about it. All right, I'll have Dickman play the Hooray for Hollywood.
Right, and when she plays the music, then I'll have him come on.
Meaning Margaret?
No, meaning me. Yes, Margaret.
All right.
All right, here it is. Let's go.
I'm Margaret Gray, and welcome. This is Hollywood. Zsa Zsa Gabor had a cutoff the other night.
All right, here's the story with Zsa Zsa Gabor.
Am I going to call her back?
Don't call her back. She's got a problem with the music. Ailing actress Zsa Zsa Gabor was taken to a hospital over the weekend and may have to have her leg partially amputated. That's very tragic news. And having her come on may get it cut off. Who's that slut that's on Letterman right now?
I don't know. I was just checking her out.
I'm just kidding. That's Paula Abdul. I'm joking. So anyway, Prince Frederick von Anhalt said his 93-year-old wife, who was read the last rites during a health scare last year, was on antibiotic. What?
Well, did she can't read?
She can't read what?
She had to have the last rites read to her.
What do you mean she can't read? They read it to you when you're dead, man, or when you... Anyway, Prince Frederick von Anhalt said his 93-year-old wife, who was read the last rites during a health scare, meaning she was on her deathbed.
Oh.
Was on antibiotics and heavy-duty painkillers, but did not know what was being done. Gabor actually was due before the holidays, but we didn't want her to be in the hospital. We wanted to celebrate the holidays at home, Van Anhalt told AP from outside the emergency room. An infected wound on her lower right leg had grown considerably over the past weeks, so we very much were concerned that it, heal. The Hungarian-born actress's lengthy film career includes spots in a dozen films and television shows, including John Huston's Moulin Rouge, the 1958 film noir classic Touch of Evil. Now, that's a great movie, man, that she was in there. And a number of others. So we hope that she's well. You heard the husband there, Count or Duke, or I don't know what he is.
I think he's like a Duke.
Duke von Anhalt saying that, it's touch and go, man. All right, a Facebook picture has serious repercussions for some nursing students. We may or may not talk about that when we come back. Yes, we will, but that's not the sexiest tease in the world. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome. All right. People who wear glasses, this is, what is, what do you want me to do, bud?
I don't know.
I just asked my producer a question. He didn't want to answer it for me, so I don't know what the hell it is he's sending me here. What is this garbage that I'm looking at? Top trends to watch for in 2012. Is that it?
Yeah, I guess you're supposed to do that.
I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Anyway, it's 20. We're kicking off 2011 the way we ended 2010, man. Anytime you want to get around to telling me what these stories are, man, you do that, okay? In the meantime, what I'll do is... Yeah, but you didn't tell me about that, man. You were talking to me about something else, dude. What is the other story you were going on and on and on about? And I couldn't get in that question about these top trends. Where's this other story? Resend. There you go. Racy videos. There we go. Okay. Raunchy comedy videos made a high-ranking Navy commander and... Raunchy comedy videos made by a high-ranking Navy commander and shown to the crew of an aircraft carrier 3 or 4 years ago have suddenly proved an embarrassment to the Pentagon that could blight the officer's career. The videos released Sunday by a newspaper in this Navy port city, the Navy port city of Norfolk, Virginia, feature Captain Owen Honors using gay slurs, pantomiming masturbation, and staging suggestive shower scenes. They were played on the shipwide television system during weekly movie night when Honors was executive officer or second in command of the USS Enterprise. Honors has since become commander of the ship. Captain Honors will be temporarily relieved of his command as early as Tuesday, Navy sources told NBC News on Monday, as an investigation of the videos is conducted. Over the weekend, the Navy at first downplayed the videos as humorous skits, then called them not acceptable and said that they are under investigation.
Is that the Enterprise? I know it's not Star Trek or anything.
No, it ain't. So what are you asking me?
Yeah, it's not Star Trek.
Yeah, I mean, is that what they named it then?
No, Star Trek was named after... I don't know. Star Trek was named after this ship, for all I know. They had an Enterprise that was a space shuttle, and then this is an aircraft carrier.
Right, but did they get it from Star Trek?
I don't think so. I think Star Trek got it from them. I don't know. Anyway, because I think the Enterprise has been around for a long time, in varying different, you know, stages.
What does that mean?
I mean, it was at one time, there was an Enterprise, and then they had another Enterprise. I think they've had a million Enterprises, for all I know. I think that's how they do it. The video's existence was not news to Navy higher-ups. In a statement to the Virginian Pilot on Friday, the Navy said its leadership had put a stop to videos with inappropriate content on the Enterprise about 4 years ago. The military's undergone a cultural shift in recent decades away from the, quote, loutish frat boy behavior. It is now working to accommodate gays in its ranks with Congress's repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Also, the Navy is opening its all-male submarine force to women this year. Now, let me just make sure that I understand. Oh, there were gay slurs. Okay. Pantomiming masturbation and suggesting. Oh, all right. Now, this was a story written by Dina Potter and Steve Scottack. And the Navy's getting rid of its loutish behavior. Well, if it's behavior that's offensive to gay people, and they're going to be gay people in the military, I guess it's not cool, you know. But sometimes I wonder if these are guys that are actually going to go out there and kick some ass. But I guess you can't say that anymore, can you?
What?
You can't have a military that's going to go out and kill. You have to have a military that, you know, you can't mention that, and you got to be this and you got to be that.
Yeah, but he's making fun of gay people and everything.
Well, I know. I understand that. I understand that. And I don't think that that's right. But what I'm saying is the following thing. There's something more that's going on in the military now, something far more. We don't talk about winning wars anymore. We don't talk about going out and killing the enemy. We don't talk about giving our soldiers what they need to complete a mission. We talk about getting them home. And we talk about them behaving like fine little gentlemen and fine little ladies and shining their shoes and, you know, being all acceptable. And if anybody who's a civilian brings any of this up, the first thing that people who are, you know, a little brain dead, first thing they say is, well, did you ever serve? No, I never served. But you know what? the money that I put into paying taxes to support the military, and I mean putting it in. I don't mean cheating on my taxes and keeping it out. I mean paying my fair share. I think I bought myself a question or two. Nonetheless, you know, we got a military now that is, I don't know why we even have a military. Is there any reason why we have a military? You know, we're in Afghanistan right now, and you'd swear to God, all of a sudden we're losing that war. And Iraq, did we ever win it? You can't say win, though, because if you say win, you're politically, you know, you're politically, that ain't cool. By the way, somebody tell that dumbass in Nashville, does this sound like I'm a liberal? Anyway, he was a caring professional, and yes, he has a sense of humor, but you need, you need on a boat a little bit more of, you know, some kind of understanding, said Misty Davis, who served on the Enterprise. It's no worse than anything you'd see on Saturday Night Live or Family Guy. Captain Honors is a very professional sir. So it looks like they're going to run this guy out of town on a rail, and people think that he's just a fantastic guy. Let's take a look here at the Racy Navy videos. This is a story. And here are some comments.
As usual, the Admiral and the Captain have no idea about the contents of the video or movie this evening, and they should not be held accountable in any judicial setting. Over the years, I've gotten several complaints about inappropriate material during these videos. Never to me personally, but gutlessly through other channels. This evening, all of you bleeding hearts, and you, fag swole boy, why don't you just go ahead and hug yourselves?
Oh, wow, they didn't edit that out, man. Now, they would edit out the N-word, I should say. All right, here is number two.
Well, we took a look at what was on the DVD, and we're pretty surprised at the contents of the videos. And our reporter, Corinne Riley, then began reaching out to find other sailors who had been aboard Enterprise in 2006-2007. Some crew members thought they were funny. There were some people we were...
No, it's not even a story. What's next?
Get Brett Favre.
Brett Favre faces sexual harassment lawsuit. In the wake of a sex scandal, the tarnished Brett Favre storied 20-year NFL career and cost him a $50,000 fine. Two more women have come forward filing a sexual harassment suit against the star quarterback. Christine Scavo and Shannon O'Toole, both former massage therapists for the New York Jets, filed suit against Favre, the New York Jets, and Lisa Rippey, a woman who hires massage therapists for the team in the Supreme Court of the state of New York on Friday. Wow. The New York Jets and the National Football League had no comment on the matter. Requests for comment from Brett Favre's agent and the Minnesota Vikings were not immediately returned. In the suit, Scavo alleges that Favre sent text messages. We already know about all of this. Text messages, let's get together. Did he send a picture of his thing?
Yeah, this is the same one.
All right, so this is now he's getting sued for sexual harassment, as well he should. One of the problems is... some guys haven't, they're not up to speed on what the rest of us are going through, okay? Favre and the rest of you jackasses that play football, or maybe you're a hockey player, or baseball, or a movie star. I don't know what you guys have been doing, or who's protecting you, but you need to get up to speed on what the rest of us have to go through, okay? And that is, we gotta watch our ass every second of every minute of every day. So now, because the Green Bay Packers, or whoever it is that holds your leash, didn't clue you in on what's going on in this world, because you don't get no special treatment here, friend.
Yeah, that's what he thinks, though.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, he does.
No, he didn't. Why would you say that?
Then why'd he do it?
Why did he do it? If he doesn't think he's going to get special treatment, or if he thinks that he's somehow immune, why would he behave this way? No guy that's got a brain that fully developed inside of his skull, once he's, you know, out of his mother's womb, is going to behave this way and not expect a lawsuit. No man that's been conscious, aware, and breathing oxygen over the last, let's put it at 15 years, let's say. 15 years. And that's at the outside, would behave this way and not expect a lawsuit. Guy like Favre, and I'm telling you, I don't blame him. I blame the fact that you don't want to say anything to a guy like that and piss him off, and then the next thing you know, he's going to want to play for another team. You can't have that happen, now can you? You don't want to say anything to a guy and piss him off, and the next thing you know, he's going to want to go someplace else and make all kinds of money for other people. So you have to be very, very careful. So Brett Favre behaves the way he wants to, like the entitled athlete that he is, and now he's getting his ass sued. And they're suing Brett Favre. Are they suing the Jets, too?
I think that they have no comment. Said that they're suing him.
It says here a $50,000 fine... The women have come forward. They've filed this lawsuit against Favre and the Jets. And I knew that.
Yeah, they got to sue the team.
They're going to sue the team, and they, you know what they may do is the Jets are going to want to say this. The Jets are going to say, all right, I tell you what we'll do. Go ahead and sue us. Drop Favre from this. Drop this Lisa Rippey from this. Just sue us for whatever the hell you want to sue us for, and we'll make the whole thing right. You know?
Yeah, but he's got a lot of money, too.
Yeah, I mean, they may still want to sue him, but if the Jets will... Oh, of course, does he still play for them? No, he didn't even play for them, so the Jets don't give a damn. But I would say that if the Jets are looking to just, you know, make this thing go away and protect Brett Favre, which I don't know why they would do that, they would simply, you know, negotiate with her attorney, drop him from the suit, and this Lisa, whatever the hell her name is, and say, look, what do you want? Because they want money, you know that. They want money, and the Jets know that, and Favre knows that, and the question is, how much is it?
How can you say that? Maybe they want to have justice.
Oh, would you get out of here, man?
What do you mean justice, man? They don't have money.
Maybe they want to go to court and prove their day in court and everything.
Yeah, okay, that's right, man.
Well, what?
Oh, come on, man. Maybe. I'm not saying that they weren't sexually harassed, but the fact is they didn't go to court and prove their day in court. They want a big, fat payday, and that's what they're going to get. Now, are they going to get it from Favre and the Jets, or are they just going to get it from the Jets? They probably don't care. Whoever's paying, that's who they're going to be collecting from. So we'll give you more information on that as we continue. The world-famous Phil Henry Show will be back. David Arquette is in rehab. You know why? Because his wife kicked his ass out. Maybe that isn't the reason why. Maybe there's something more to it. Plus, coffee and chocolate lovers will pay more for their treat. Anyway, world-famous Phil Henry Show.
It's the Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
You know, we're getting back up to speed here. It's not a big thing, you know, but there's a lot going on behind it. There's a lot going on in the business, man. There's a lot going on in the business. You know, I didn't mention this to you, and I did briefly on the air before we went on vacation. I told you about the illness to Neil Rogers, who was a mentor and a friend in Miami. Well, Neil passed on New Year's, Christmas Eve. He died Christmas Eve. Now, how good was he on the air? I'm going to tell you. You haven't heard anybody better in your life. Now, I'm just telling you. You don't have to believe me, but that happens to be the fact. You've never heard anybody better. That's how good he was. And as we lose a great broadcaster, our industry, the radio industry, continues to slide right into the toilet. Right into the toilet. With some of the hires and some of the shows and some of what they consider to be great radio. Left versus right, conservative versus liberal. We don't give this industry half of a chance to grow beyond that garbage. We got more conservative hosts. If you point it out, it makes you a liberal. If I point out the fact we got a lot of conservative hosts on the radio, that must make me a liberal. That's how stupid some of these people are. All I'm asking for is something in the way of a presentation in the world of broadcasting that goes beyond or transcends left, right, Republican, Democrat politics. Who said this is supposed to be a medium for politics morning, noon, and night? And you got the editorial policies of these radio stations. It's beyond belief. If you say one thing that happens to be, that can be construed as positive about Obama, you're a liberal. Now, either that is just abject stupidity on the part of the people that run their radio business, or they're doing it on purpose because they like being dumb. We lose a giant. Like Neil Rogers, and what are we getting? We're getting Robert Wall. Or however you pronounce that guy's name. How do you pronounce his name?
Robert Wall, I think.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great broadcast name, isn't it? Not. We have more political talk shows in spoken word, in the spoken word format, in the talk radio format, to the point now where no one in this business knows how to do anything else but talk stupidly about politics. I don't give a damn whether Obama's president or not. It's got nothing to do with whether I like him or George Bush or John McCain. It has to do with an industry that is offering the listener nothing. Nothing. We're breaking our ass here every night on this show, trying to come up with a different kind of radio show in an industry that has given up. It's given up. It's quit. It's laying down and waving the white flag of surrender. That's what this industry is doing. Okay? And by pointing this out to you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, by pointing this out, this is an opinion. See? I'm giving an opinion. This is talk radio, isn't it? Well, I'm giving an opinion about my industry. This is something I know something about, see? Now, you can listen to a lot of guys that can talk politics. They don't know what they're talking about, but they can talk about it. They can pretend like they know what they're talking about, can't they? Now, this is something I know, and I'm telling you what I know, and this is the following thing. By pointing this out to you, why? This is I'm committing a horrible sin. Well, you're airing our dirty laundry. Let me tell you something. I'm telling people about the industry that I work in the same way that they would discuss the industries that they work in. This is a medium that people go get up in the morning and listen to, and they go home to listen to at night. It's called radio. And what we are, what we're going to be swimming in this year, 2011, is more amateur night. Oh, yeah. You're going to get all of the political talk shows that you want, but you're going to have less in the way of professionalism. And because I've been in this business long enough, and I'm watching it happen.
They talk this because you got pissed off because the coffee wasn't hot?
Yes, that's exactly right. All right, one more thing, because this is one of the things that I don't get, man. I've got an iPhone. You got an iPhone, Robert. I know you do. Worldwide, iPhone users are complaining about malfunctioning alarms even after Apple said its iPhone alarms would work on Monday. What are they talking about?
I don't know. I set mine off.
I've been using my iPhone alarm since I bought the phone, and it has never malfunctioned. What are you idiots talking about? Over the New Year's, get a load of this. Over the New Year's weekend, the alarm application on the smartphone failed to work for alarms that were set for one-time use only, as opposed to recurring. That's how I use it. On the first 2 days of 2011, triggering reports that some people wound up oversleeping. Many iPhone owners took to social media websites such as Facebook and Twitter to sound off on sleeping in, arriving late for work, and even missing meetings and planes after recurring alarms set in the iPhone's clock application failed to go off in the morning. Now, let me explain something to some of you guys. I've got an iPhone. You got to make sure that it's turned on.
They know that.
No, you think they know that, huh? You got to make sure that you hit save, and you got to make sure. There's two things that you got to make sure, that the alarm is on and that you've hit save. I'm not kidding you. Now, I don't know what kind of phones these are, but I have the upgraded iPhone, and I've never had this problem. Ashley McGreen wrote on Twitter, "Really, iPhone? Not a good way to start off the new year with a phone whose alarm doesn't go off. Maybe you don't know how to set it, Ashley," wrote iPhone back. No, I'm kidding, but they should have. And then here's one from Patty Kurtz. "Woke up very late this morning, just found out that the iPhone alarm app is broke." No, you're broke. I'm kidding. Here is a fake Steve Jobs account. It found a lot of inspiration in the alarm problem, tweeting, "Sorry about the iPhone alarm glitch. We had absolutely no way to prepare for 2011. Well, I don't know what the problem is, because like I said, I've never had a problem with my iPhone alarm, and I've used it since the beginning. And I like using it because I like to use the Harp alarm.
Yeah, I heard that. That sounds a little gay.
No, really. Why did I know you'd say that?
What do you use? I use like a robot. The robot's bitching.
The robot? What do you use?
I think I use a church bell or something. I forget. I woke up to a nuclear alarm. Church bell?
Yeah. All right, thanks, folks. Our show was produced by Charles. It's great to be back. Charles Wagon is our technical director. Dan Northcraft, our associate producer. And our producer is Jason Rance. And don't forget, PhilHenryShow.com. PhilHenryShow.com. Get yourself a backstage pass. See you tomorrow night. Phil Hendry.